go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest this time, most weeks, is Fred Flights, and I'm very pleased to say he is with us now to talk about a man he had the privilege of serving with and knowing well, both as a colleague, a mentor, and a friend in the Central Intelligence Agency, where Fred served for some 20 years, a gentleman by the name of Hugh Montgomery, a storied individual and one who I think did much to shape Fred Flights' career as an intelligence professional, including not only at the agency, but also at the State Department under John Bolton and on Capitol Hill as a professional staff member to the House Intelligence Committee. These days, he's our senior vice president at the Center for Security Policy for Programs and Policy. Always welcome. Fred, good to have you. So tell us a little bit about Hugh. I didn't know him nearly as well as you did, but I found him to be a remarkable man. His passing is a serious loss.
Well, I consider him a hero of U.S. national security. He served in the Office of Strategic Services during World War II, the predecessor to the Central Intelligence Agency. He was a founding father of the CIA. He retired at the age of 90 from the CIA in 2013. He served in covert
operations. That's pretty remarkable. That's not generally the retirement age at the agency, is it?
It is not, and I got to tell you, I admire him for so many reasons. First of all, being able to survive in the agency bureaucracy for 63 years, I just can't imagine it. I mean, having managed to survive there for 20 years, it was really difficult. One of his most famous exploits was that when he was on an OSS mission, that his four-man team operating behind German lines accidentally discovered the Buchenwald concentration camp. And his group talked to the surviving inmates and who actually were running the camp at the time and asked if they could leave the German guards to their hands, which Montgomery agreed to. And they radioed in for urgent medical assistance. And Montgomery was given the black flag that flew over this camp, which he still had and wanted to donate to a museum dedicated to the OSS, which he's hoping will be built very soon.
Well, we all should hope so. It was an extraordinary time. And let me turn to some of the conflicts we're in the middle of at the moment, Fred Flights. You have been writing intensively about the Russian influence operations that have come to light so far with respect to not only the 2016 election, but a lot of other things, including involving Democrats, by the way, and it seems to me all of those ought to be the subject of the congressional investigations. But Fred, more to the point, in addition to the absence of much evidence that there was collusion between the Trump team and the Russians, when I say much evidence, any evidence for that matter, the storyline seems to be finding less and less traction at the moment because of what's been happening between the Trump team and the Russians, particularly in connection with Syria. Talk a little bit about the latest on all of that, if you would.
Yeah, the storyline for this is getting weaker and weaker. I saw a Democratic talking head on cable recently saying that Trump's support for Brexit is evidence that he was colluding with the Russians. I hate the EU too, Frank, and I'm not pro-Russian. I think the EU is bad for the U.S. economy. They're basically grasping at straws to discredit this president and his election. I think what we've seen recently with the discussions in Moscow between Secretary Tillerson and the Russian government is an example of the fact that this administration is not in the back pocket of Putin. I think they're demonstrating the fact that we have a president who means what he says what he means. Tillerson went in with a tough message, and this is in such sharp contrast to the frivolous policies of Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. Can you imagine how Putin is comparing in his mind these prior two secretaries of state whose positions changed every time he met them, who stood for nothing, who was backed up by a president who the force was never on the table, who was always willing to bend? The Russians are trying to get used to a new strategic reality. with the election of Mr. Trump.
Well, I wish that it were the case that it was just fecklessness that John Kerry and Hillary Clinton were exhibiting. I think there was even, especially in the case of Hillary and her husband, really corrupt activity that the Russians took advantage of. And again, I think that's a subject that ought to be carefully examined by any investigation worthy of the name on Capitol Hill. Fred Flights is our guest, Senior Vice President at the Center for Security Policy. Fred, you've also been helping to unpack what's been going on with respect to the leaks of information that was, as you say, clearly designed to undermine first candidate Trump, then the president-elect, and subsequently the presidency of Donald Trump. Would you give us a flavor of what we've learned of late about the nature of the surveillance that was conducted against Trump folks and the leaking thereof?
Well, we've talked before how there appears to have been a determined effort by the Obama administration to cull through intelligence, looking for incidental references to Trump officials that are supposed to be blacked out, and then ask for those names to be demasked, to leak to the media, to hurt Trump and his aides. Recently, however, there was a press report that Carter Page, a minor unpaid Trump campaign official, there was a FISA warrant to allow foreign intelligence agencies to collect information against him, to tap his phone. And the media is saying, well, this is evidence that this guy was working for the Russians. Here's the Trump-Russia collusion. First of all, the leaking of this warrant was a felony. It was another serious example of Obama holdovers or former Obama officials breaking the law to hurt this president. And why did they do it? Because the investigation on the Hill is focusing too much on Susan Rice and her illegal activity, and the Democrats are desperate to get it back to Trump. This Carter Page story is a big nothing burger. He was a minor guy who didn't even make it to the election, and I think the Democrats are getting desperate.
And to the extent, Fred Flights, that they are getting desperate, and we're looking at an effort to deflect attention from Susan Rice, and what has been now established has been misconduct on her part. I guess there's still an open question as to whether it might have been illegal, but there's very little doubt, it seems to me, that she was engaged in improper political surveillance of opponents of the Democratic Party. Is that case now going forward? Is it being pursued in your estimation properly by those on the Hill who are supposed to be looking into all of these things?
The Senate and House Intelligence Committees are both looking at the issue of the demasking of Americans as part of this probe. The Senate Intelligence Committee announced this week that it's going to look at it. But let's make no mistake, these are going to be partisan reports. There will be a hard-hitting majority report written by the Republicans and a sharp dissent by the Democrats. There's not going to be agreement on this. But my hope is that the evidence is so clear, even though the majority report will probably be written entirely by Republicans, it will still have a significant effect on the debate on this issue.
Is it not the case that, particularly in the Senate, both the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman and his ranking member, respectively, Richard Burr and Mark Warner, have plighted their troth to having bipartisan investigation and products? Are they expected actually to deviate from that? And if so, will that blow everything up on the Senate side?
Well, we've heard this before. You may remember this committee issued three separate reports concerning the Iraq war. They were all split between Republican and Democrats. This was the same case for the report on the CIA enhanced interrogation program, written entirely by the Democratic majority. I think we're going to see the same thing on this issue.
We'll be watching it, as I know will you. Fred Flights, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the great work you do at the Center for Security Policy and National Review and Newsmax and Fox News and elsewhere. I know you'll keep it up, and we will talk again next week. I hope that we'll talk to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.